In the late 1960s, a television producer named Joan Ganz Cooney set out to start an epidemic. Her target was 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds. Her agent of infection was television, and the virus she wanted to spread was literacy. The show would last an hour and run every day of the week, but the hope was that if that hour was contagious enough, it could serve as an educational tipping point, giving children from disadvantaged homes a leg up once they began elementary school, spreading pro-learning values from watchers to non-watchers, infecting children and their parents, and lingering long enough to have impact well after the children stopped watching the show. Cooney probably wouldn't have used these concepts or described her goals in precisely this way. But what she wanted to do, in essence, was create a learning epidemic to counter the prevailing epidemics of poverty and illiteracy. She called her idea Sesame Street. By any measure, this was an audacious idea. Television is a great way to reach lots of people, very easily and cheaply. But it isn't a particularly educational medium. Jerry Lesser, a Harvard University psychologist who joined Cooney in founding Sesame Street, says that when he was first asked to join the project back in the late 1960s, he was skeptical. "I had always been very much into fitting how you teach to what you know about the child," he says. "You teach the kid's strengths so you can play to them. You try to understand the kid's weaknesses so you can avoid them. Then you try to teach that individual kid's profile. Television has no potential, no power to do that," he said. "Good teaching is interactive. It engages the child individually. But a television is just a talking box. In experiments, children who are asked to read a passage and then tested on it will invariably score higher than children asked to watch a video of the same subject matter. The word that educational experts use to describe television is low involvement." Cooney and Lesser enlisted some of the top creative minds of the period. They borrowed techniques from television commercials to teach children about numbers. They used the live animation of Saturday morning cartoons to teach lessons about learning the alphabet. They brought in celebrities to sing and dance and star in comedy sketches that taught children about the virtues of cooperation or about their own emotions. Sesame Street aimed higher and tried harder than any other children's show had. And the extraordinary thing was that it worked. Virtually every time the show's educational value has been tested, it has been proven to improve the reading and learning skills of its viewers. There are few educators and child psychologists who don't believe that the show managed to spread its infectious message well beyond the homes of those who watched it. The creators of Sesame Street accomplished something extraordinary. And the story of how they did that is a marvelous illustration of the second of the rules of the tipping point, the stickiness factor. They discovered that by making small but critical adjustments in how they presented ideas to preschoolers, they could overcome television's weakness as a teaching tool and make what they had to say memorable. Sesame Street succeeded because it learned how to make television sticky.